I wanted to do the study on pretty much 2 Kings 17, no, I'm sorry, 18 and 19. And it's basically Hezekiah's account of his troubles with the Syrian king, the Assyrian king, Sennacherib in the Greek language. And first of all, we say, who is Hezekiah? Hezekiah was the 14th king from David. And he ruled in 727 B.C. to 698 B.C. So you say, well, during this study, the very first, let's stop all the papers together. Excuse me for a second. In 2 Kings 18:1, and I don't have chip posting, so you guys are going to have to pull out your Bibles. I'm sorry, that's the way it is, but you're just going to have to flip the pages and keep up the best way you can. Okay. 2 Kings 18:1, and I'm going to do the whole chapter. So, now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elkah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. First of all, something caught me right off the bat with this. Okay? I got confused. I said, well, you got two different kings here. How can two kings rule at the same time? So I got to looking at it, and to my embarrassment, I want to tell you guys that I learned something. I learned that during this time, or actually before this time, that there's two kingdoms amongst Israel. I know that from Jacob on back, they were warring parties among each other, but I didn't realize that they had a king for Israel and a king for Judah that would be reigning at the same time. So the more research I got into it, I got to looking that they were in the kingdoms of Israel. Every one of the kings of Israel after David, now you have Saul, Ishbosheth, David, and Solomon. All four of those ruled the entire nation, okay? But after Solomon, the nations got broke up. In all, there were 42 kings and one queen who ruled instead of a king. Saul was the first, and he ruled over the 12 tribes of Israel for 40 years. After Saul's death, the kingdom became temporarily divided, with Saul's sons, Ishbosheth, ruling for 11 years of the tribe for 2 years, while David ruled Judah. After Ishbosheth was assassinated, David became ruler over all. And over all the 12 tribes. Both David and Solomon ruled for 40 years each, and after Solomon's reign ended, the kingdom divided into what became known as the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, but simply Judah, which was 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, okay? Now those are the 2 tribes that to me are really ringing a bell here, Judah and Benjamin. Because who comes from the tribe of Judah? That's our Lord and Savior Christ. Who comes from the tribe of Benjamin? The Apostle Paul. So we have the Apostle Paul and Christ both coming from these 2 tribes. And they are totally separate from the northern kingdom, which were the other 10 tribes. Now, this whole, 800 years that these kingdoms were divided with all these different kings, they were so busy warring against each other, killing each other out, bringing each other into captivity, that they were just leaving themselves wide open for these Assyrian kings that are nomads or whatever to come in and pretty much take them away. And also you have the Babylonian captivity that Judah had to deal with.
What's going on?
So that noise you hear, I think, is my wife's phone in the background. And so if anything, because of the kings that couldn't work together, they made each other weaker. And to me, I associate that why we as bodies of Christ are to be united. You know, the scripture tells us in Ephesians to be one, to be of one unit, to be of one spirit, to be of one mind. And if Israel, the whole nation of Israel, the Judah, Benjamin, all of them, if they had all just had the same mindset, no captivity would have taken place because they would have been too strong for anybody to take them. Okay, that got that out of the way. Okay, and of all these kings, how many kings would you suppose that did good? And I know all you scholars out there that play the numbers game, you're automatically going to throw either a 3 or a 7 or a 12 or a 14. Well, of all these 42 kings, you're going to have 7 kings. 7 kings that did righteous by the way of God. They followed His commandments. They all practiced after David and did that was right in the sight of God. You got 7 that's doing good. Now, of those 7, how many of those 7 was, which tribe were they associated with? Of those 7 that did right according to God, all 7, well, David, let's leave David out. He's one of the 7, okay? But when the tribes were separated, you're going to have 6 after David that did right. And they are all under the kingdom of Judah. All of them. Every one of them. So those that followed the kingdom of Judah tended to do more right than those that followed the kingdom of Israel. Israel always followed after Baal, after image worshipery, after Molech and all like that. They just got into the ugliness that Satan has to offer, and seeing that, you can see in the mindset or in the back thought of when Christ was on the cross, you had all these Israel out there saying, "Crucify him." They're the same group of people that, yeah, Jeroboam, that's right. They're from the same following or lineage of the Israelites that fell in line, that followed Satan more than they followed God. Okay, I've got off that. Now we're going to get into some reading of Hezekiah and his encounter with Sennacherib, according to the Hebrew word, maybe. In 2 Kings 18:1, we're going to go through 37. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elkah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, son of Ahaz. And Hezekiah's dad was not a good king. He was a bad one. Son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father David had did. In 2 Chronicles, let me see. Second Chronicles 31. Now this is Hezekiah. This is what he did. Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah. You notice he said Israel and Judah. So Hezekiah is trying to bring the whole nation together again. And wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, which is in northern Israel, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord, God of Israel. He, Hezekiah, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So through all those years, they've been damaged, and false worships and everything else has been taking place in the temples. And he brought in priests and Levites and gathered them together in the east street. And he said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth filthiness out of this holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and have put out the lamps, and have burned incense, nor offering burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble and to astonishment and to hissing and to see with your eyes, for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this." See, he's telling them all this time, look what has happened because of this. "Now it is mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may be turned away from us." See, this is Hezekiah in his first month of his first year of reigning, that he sent out a letter throughout all the land to come to Jerusalem and let's get back to the Lord. And we get down to 2 Chronicles 29:17. "Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify it, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the porch of the Lord, so they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month they made an end." And then we come down to 35. It can't be Chronicles 35. "So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan." Now that's in the northern tribes. "That they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord of the God of Israel, for they had not done it for a long time or since the division of the kingdom, as it was written." So the post or the letters went out with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah. So it went throughout the entire land. "And according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And he, God, will return the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. So the post passed from city to city throughout the country, Ephraim, Manasseh, even to Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, diverse of Asher, some of those of Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. You notice, when you say where they laughed them to scorn, you could see somebody walking. Well, we could just say go to Hollywood and try to deliver the mystery truth and see what happens. We'd be laughed to scorn just like they would be, but that's just, you know, that's just an observation that I thought to myself. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and the princes by the word of the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles 30:18, for the multitude of the people, even many in Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves yet, did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, because, see, they hadn't followed the commandments the way that it was done, because there's a certain order they had to do it in. It would take more days than what he was asking them to do. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone, in Chronicles 30:20, and the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. So the Lord heard Hezekiah. He knew how humble his heart was. So he healed the people and allowed them to go through the cleansing process at a different speed in which it was commanded that they normally do. I'm going back to 2 Kings 18 and get back on track with Kings. And the Lord was with him in 7, 2 Kings 18:7, if you're in your Bible. And he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now the king of Assyria, he rebelled against him because Hoshea, which was the king of the northern kingdom, okay, he was the same one that was ruling at the same time that he took over. But Hoshea in the northern kingdom was giving tribute to this king of Assyria, and he befriended him. Well, we're going to see that that befriending kind of cost him. Back to Hezekiah in 8. He smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. Now I don't know where that is. I tried to look it up. I'm sure Barney or one of you guys can tell me where the tower of the watchman is. From what I understand, it is a tall tower that was built for men to go up and observe and see if anybody's coming from miles away. That's the only information I could come up with that. In 9, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, the son of Elkah, the king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, come up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even the sixth year of Hezekiah. And that in the ninth year, Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. Okay. Hosea, king of Israel, the northern tribe, right, has now been taken by, what's his name? Shalmaneser. So he was paying tribute, said, well, I'll be your buddy. And then, you know, well, that buddy wound up taking his Hosea captive and the entire city. This is the very last that you will hear of the northern tribes in Israel having anything to do with that. So from this point on, there will be no more northern kingdom, because everything is going to be associated with the southern kingdom or Judah, because the Sumerians pretty much, they took Samaria. Shalmaneser took, the Assyrians took the entire northern kingdom. So they no longer have a king. And in 11, and the king of Assyria did carry away Israel, this is going to be the northern kingdom, into Assyria and put them in Halah and Habor by the river Gozan and in the city of the Medes. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord your God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them or do them. So Hezekiah tried to get them to turn their ways, but they know better. And now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib. Now Sennacherib is coming up against the southern tribes, and the Shalmaneser was against the northern tribes. Well, here comes Sennacherib to attack Judah. Came up against all the fenced cities of Judah. I need to get my, because I want to look at that 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 32, because this is the account that Chronicles says about this endeavor. 2 Chronicles 32, 1 through 8. After these things, the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Syria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and threw out to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and with his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. See, that he had to make sure that he had water for himself, but he wanted to make sure that the Assyrians didn't have water, because if they had water, they could stay there as long as they wanted to. So this was a pretty smart idea on his part. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the streets of the gate of the city, and spake conformably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, not for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. Now, we get back to 2 Kings 18, 13 again. Now, in the 14th year, King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, "I have offended Return from me, that which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah. Now, this is what I don't understand. I have a feeling that either Hezekiah had a weak moment here or why he decided to pay this guy a ransom. But it is what it is. And he appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. Now, I know you guys are saying, I know I thought myself, but you don't, we know from experience of other situations, you don't pay a bribe or you don't pay blackmail. You just don't give that. But for some reason, maybe you guys know more about this than I do. At this time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors and of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to king of Assyria. Now, after he did this, some time had passed. I don't know how much. But the king of Assyria in 17 sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lishish. So there's a battle going on there, or Sennacherib is in Lishish right now. So he's sending these guys, his generals, captains, or whatever, to Hezekiah with the great host against Jerusalem. Now, a great host is a lot of soldiers. And they went up and came up to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they come and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is on the highway in the fuller's field. Well, I'm sure that pool is dry, because I'm sure Hezekiah and his people got that water cut off. And when they had called to the king, there came out them Elkim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Jonah, Asaph, the recorder. Asaph, I think it goes. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Because he knew he wasn't talking to Hezekiah, but he says, you deliver this message. Thus saith the king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherewith thou trustest? Thou sayest, but thou art but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Well, I'm seeing here that this rebellest against me refers back to verse 7, where he prospered whithersoever he went forth and rebelled against the king of Assyria. So, apparently, the king of Assyria is bringing this back up. So, all right, you done paid me some money, but now what is this that you're rebelling me for? And 21, now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed. Now, he's talking about Egypt now. Upon Egypt, which a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. Well, when it comes to the time frame, Egypt is now at the end of their stronghold. Egypt is no longer a powerhouse in that period. It's starting into another, I think, Roman Empire. But the Egyptians is pretty much on the end of their ropes. And apparently Hezekiah was promised horses and supplies from Egypt. And Sennacherib knows this. And 22, but if you say unto me, we trust the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and has said unto Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now he's referring to the places that he did cut down. The altars and the things that were satanistic or that people were worshiping that God didn't want them to worship. Well, Sennacherib is thinking, why did you tear all that down if you worship them? And why trust in that Lord if you're tearing his stuff down? Well, he just didn't know the whole scheme of the plan. And in 23, now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord, king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders on them. So he's saying, well, give me some money, and we'll give you some horses, if you can put riders on them. But we know how that probably worked out. They probably wouldn't give it to them no way. How then, in 24, wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? I am now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it. The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Yeah, well, that's not the Lord God of Israel that he's talking about. Then said Elkin, the son of Hilkiah, and Shibna, and Jonah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to these servants in the Syrian language. For we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. Well, that's the one thing you shouldn't have done, because he knows then that you don't want the people to be afraid of what he's about to tell them, because you're saying that they're going to run. When he broadcast his proclamation, these people on the walls will probably run, and you know it. Or speak to us in your language and not ours, because these walls will hear. In 27, but Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Question mark. Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? So, whoa, boy, he's getting ugly now. He's done got stirred up. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language, and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he should not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man his own vine, and every one his fig tree, and drink every one the waters of his cistern. False hope. False promises. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil and honey, olive oil and honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. So here he is. I'm sure he said this to every city that he came across and fooled the people and said, oh, well, it's going to be a lot better with him. I mean, he's got us cut off. He ain't letting us eat. He ain't letting us go out. So it's going to be, he's going to feed us. And it's worked over and over and over again. So he's playing that game here. And he says, where are the gods of Hamath and of Arphad? Are they the gods of Seraphim? Now these are the different cities that are in the northern tribes, northern kingdoms. Hena and Iba, and I'm sure these are gods that they were worshiping, the little g gods that they were worshiping. Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Nope. Who are among the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not. Not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Then Rabshakeh had to leave. Apparently he delivered his message, so he left. Then came Elkan, 37, Hilkiah, the son of Hilkiah, which was at the household of Shebna, the scribe, and Jonah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent. Boy, he's done got them upset. And told them the words of Rabshakeh. And it came to pass in 19, when Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes. Well, you have to wonder, where was Hezekiah at this whole time? And later on, I think there's a reason for that. There's a question when he got hurt that he suffered an illness that was near to death, even though it hadn't come up yet in the Kings. But when you look at the timelines and everything else, I just have a, I might be wrong, but I have a feeling this is about the time that he got sick and he wasn't able to do much. But, and it came to pass that when King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord and sent Elkan, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, and covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz. Now here comes Isaiah, man. This is a prophet. This is, man. When I was reading this and I seen Isaiah, I said, whoa, now this is a big deal here. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, so they need to get out, but they can't. And there's no strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, who the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will prove the words of the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So that tells you right there, there's not that many there. I'm sure what was there, they was doing everything they could, like earlier, to shut the water off and build up whatever defense they could. He knew there isn't enough men to maintain an army or even a decent defense. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid. The words which thou hast heard, which the servants of the king of Syria have blasphemed me, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and he shall return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Well, buddy, that's good enough for me. And Hezekiah felt the same way. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna. So Rabshakeh then got back to the king. And he heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirikaah, king of Ethiopia, now this is the Ethiopian king, which apparently is a pretty big bunch of Mongols. Behold, he has come out to fight against thee. This is the rumor spoken of by Isaiah. He sent messengers again to Hezekiah. So he's saying, all right, get back to Hezekiah, get what you can, and we got things to take care of here. So, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceived thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered out of the hand of the king of Syria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which the fathers have destroyed? Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which were in Thelsar. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Seraphim, of Hena and Iva? So he just basically said the same thing that he said earlier, but in a smaller format, and throwed a bunch of kings and cities in there. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of this hand, and all the kingdoms of the earth may now know thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And 20, it's amazing how at this time period, when the righteous prayed, it's almost like God answers just that fast. Today we can pray and we might not know the answer for years. We'd be blessed if we know the answer within a day. But with a solid heart, when you pray, you know God hears your prayers. And He's answering our prayers. He's just not answering them the way that He was in the Old Testament, or He's not answering them the way He was in the New Testament. But our God is still answering our prayers. And in 20, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And this is going to go on down through 22 through 31. Which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word of the Lord that has spoken concerning him, Sennacherib. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom thou hast exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel, by the messengers thou hast reproached the Lord, and hast said, With the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. I will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of its borders, and into the forest of this Carmel. I have digged and drunk strange waters with the sole of my feet. Have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places? Have thou not heard long ago how I have done it? And of ancient times have I formed it? Now I have brought it to pass that thou shouldest be laid waste, fenced cities unto ruins of heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power, and they were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the grass of the green herb. The grass on the housetops and the corn blasted before it grew up. But I know thy abode and thy going and thy coming and thy rage against me, because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears. Therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou comest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of the Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord, the host, shall do this. Thus, therefore, saith the Lord concerning king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with a shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. In 35, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000, that's 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass over several years, as I understand, he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, little g, and Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esradad, his son, reigned in his stead. Well, I hope I didn't bore you guys to death, but I just felt like I wanted to give Hezekiah the justice he deserves that actually goes with my previous study. And it was too time consuming to put it in my previous study, so that's the account of Hezekiah, and there's a lot more that can go along with that as far as the digging of the cistern or well that was actually taking place. But I want to thank you guys. I hope you got something out of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day and for all the blessings you give us in it. Lord, for all those things that we see and those that we don't. And Lord, we ask that you search our hearts for those that need a healing or a comforting touch. And we thank you, Lord, again for that you did on the cross and for that you did from before the foundation. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you.